Let's just pray as we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, we think we can meet here together this morning. Father, we think the words have already been said. Lord, we thank you for the songs of praise that we've sung. Lord, we just pray that you would continue to be at work within our hearts and minds this morning. Lift them to you, Father, that we would see your glory. Father, that our hearts would worship you acceptably, with reverence and awe. Father, teach us now through your word. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. We ask and pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment you're a new missionary. You're planning to go overseas to a foreign country for the very first time. What are some of the things you think you're going to need to learn before you go? So you're going to a foreign country, they speak a different language. So you need to learn a working knowledge of their language. They have different customs. So you learn about their culture because you don't want to disrespect them. They have different rules, different standards. And so you familiarize yourself with them. You learn all these things so you can fit into their culture. So the time comes, you go overseas, you start living amongst them. Because you're familiar with their ways, they accept you. Although they accept you, but at the same time, they see your familiarity with them, they also see that you're different. They see your different manners. They see your different perspectives and actions. They see how you go away things differently than them. So they start to ask you questions. They show an interest in you and about where you've come from. Now, Paul tells us as believers, we're citizens of heaven. And Peter tells us that we are aliens and strangers. As believers, we are foreigners in a foreign country. We're familiar with the ways of this world, but as we are citizens of another country, and we need to let our heavenly ways be seen. So in our passage this morning, we see the commands, we see the essence, and we see the benefits of what it is to bring heavenly living into the world in which we live. We find at the center of heavenly living is love. So our passage starts, to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. And what is the first thing that Jesus tells us to do? He tells us to love. And Jesus says in Matthew 22, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second commandment is like it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. So here in our passage this morning, Jesus is now telling us to love our enemies. Love is the heart of heaven. We all know the verse from 1 John that says, God is love. Now, Jesus is here teaching the lessons of love that a believer has to know in this world. We're to love even our enemies. Because that is the love, that's the love that God has had for us. As sinners, we're all once enemies of God. But God demonstrated his own love by sending his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross. To die on the cross for us. Why? So that he might bring us into relationship with him. So that we might live in his love. Jesus now tells us, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Now Jesus is here speaking from experience. Because Jesus left the glory of heaven and came into this world. And John's gospel tells us that the world didn't recognize him. Jesus came into the world that he had made. He came to that which he had made. The world didn't receive him. For all that Jesus said, for all the miracles that he performed, he even raised the dead. The world didn't recognize him. And so the Apostle John writes, but this is love. not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his one and only Son to pay the price for our sins upon the cross, to pay them in our place. And that's loving your enemies. That's doing good to those that hate you. Loving your enemies and doing good to your enemies. As Faith just said before, it's countercultural. It's countercultural to our world. But it's the culture of heaven on earth that we as believers are meant to be. We're meant to be missionaries right here where we are. That means we have to love. Jesus goes on, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And Jesus went to the cross. Remember how he was mocked. Remember how cruel he was treated. What did Jesus do, though? He prayed for them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To pray for your enemies, to pray for those who mistreat you, is to love them despite how they treat you. It is to want the best of them. It is to realize that they are struggling. It is to know that they need God. And so out of love, we pray for God's blessing upon them. Like Jesus upon the cross, praying for forgiveness for those who are crucifying him. It came from the depth of love because God is love. And real love isn't a feeling or emotion, but it's a decision. I'm going to love that person no matter who they are or what they've done. To love them is to want the best for them. And so our prayers of blessing for those that mistreat us and cursed us must come from the deliberateness of our deciding to love them as God has loved us. To love is a decision. The feeling and emotion that we often associate with love will gradually fade away. But what remains is that decision that we have made to love. God made us knowing that we would rebel against him. And that's love. God sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sin. That's love. So Jesus gives us here the insight of heavenly love, the insight of what God's love looks like. So he gives us these commands so that we might learn to love others as he has loved us. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. That's commands for heavenly living on this earth. Next, we see the essence of heavenly living in a practical way, as we see love expressed under the trial of persecution. The love that God has for us knows no bounds. So our love also needs to abound, even to those who are our enemies. So Jesus says, if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them also the other. Now Jesus isn't here talking about not being able to defend yourself, not being able to defend yourself if you're attacked. He's not preaching passivity, but he's referring to the disrespect that people will have towards you because of your faith. Jesus warned the disciples in John 16 that they would be put out of the synagogues. And when this happened, they would often be beaten or slapped. It's when we are dishonored and insulted in this way, that is when we are to turn the other cheek. That we are to expect and accept persecution. The Beatitudes say, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. In the book of Acts, we see the story of when Peter and John praised God when they were first persecuted. They were persecuted for their faith, and they praised God because they had been counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of Jesus' name. Now, Jesus himself illustrates this for us. Let's look at his trial before Annas. Not long, just before his crucifixion. After speaking the truth about his teaching, one of the officials slapped him on the face, and Jesus responds, if I said something wrong, testify as to what I said. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me? Now, Jesus didn't say then, well, you better hit the other side to make it even. No. He pointed out the injustice and he accepted the treatment. To turn the other cheek is to accept the indignity and dishonor out of love for God and out of love for our enemy who needs to come to God for salvation. Now, do you all know who John Bunyan is? He wrote the story Pilgrim's Progress. Now, John Bunyan once said something along these lines. If those who persecute God's people so passionately could only come to believe in God, imagine how passionately they'd serve him. God wants us to love our enemies as he has loved us. So as the verse continues, we see the mercy and compassion that flows from loving God as God loves. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. And notice that to someone who takes, that's referring either to theft or as a result of the law, as a result of giving your coat as a pledge. Now, in those days, a person's coat or cloak was an important item of clothing. Most people only had one. It would often serve as a blanket at night also. So under Old Testament law, that coat had to be returned by sunset. But if someone stole your coat, the response that Jesus is suggesting is that instead of seeing the violation, that of love, you see the need of the person who takes your coat. And so you offer also your shirt. Jesus is talking about compassion that stems from love and sees the need, not the violation. Give to everyone who asks you. Now, this doesn't mean that you need to give willy-nilly whatever someone asks of you. The giving here is, once again, comes out of the compassion born of love. And Jesus said, how much more is my Father in heaven able to give good gifts to those who ask? And Paul tells the Philippians that God will supply every need according to the riches of the glory in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a difference between needs and wants. We need to have compassion, but we also need to have discernment. Now, Adrian recently told me this story back when he was a pastor. He's a pastor at Redcliffe. And he told me he once had a man come to him after the service. He asked him for money to buy food. And Adrian said, well, I can't give you any money, but we can give you some food. So he had some people go down to the kitchen. They made up some lovely sandwiches. They brought them up, they wrapped in glad wrap, and they gave them to him. Now Adrian says he watched as that man walked away. And as he walked down the road, he threw those sandwiches away. He threw them away. He didn't need food. He just wanted money. We need to show compassion, but we also need to show discernment. So fourthly, Jesus says, if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Now this is talking plainly about theft. It's not about need, but stealing, for someone stealing something for their own gain. Do not demand it back. Why? Now remember the context here. Jesus is talking about loving our enemies. And Jesus doesn't want us to be goaded into retaliation. He doesn't want us to stoop the level of our enemies in way of retribution. Jesus wants us to show love and not to stoop to their level so they might see God's love reflected in us. We promote God's love by letting our enemy take something that is ours rather than we show our own selfish worldliness and retaliate to get it back. The commands of heaven for us to love. The essence of heaven is for that love to be demonstrated in our lives. Like the essence of a perfume is left behind when the wearer leaves the room. So the essence of God's love is left behind and surrounds our enemies when we live and act according to God's love. Jesus then goes on, do to others as you'd have them do to you. No one likes to be treated badly. If you are in need, you want people to have compassion on you. If you're hurt and need help, you hope that someone will stop to help you. Now, a number of years back, my family was on holidays in Hervey Bay, and I was fishing. I was standing in water about knee deep. Tide was going out, so it was muddy and I couldn't see the bottom. But all of a sudden, as I was walking along, I felt a sharp pain in my foot. And so I started walking to shore, trail of blood behind me. And Kalinda was there with me and she went to get help. I'd been stung by a stingray and barb went into my foot about 5 centimetres. So I sat on the beach, foot heavily bleeding. I was a little bit woozy from pain and from shock. But you know, that morning, there was lots of people on the beach. There's plenty of people who walked right past me. Not a single one asked if I was okay. God has shown us how we are to love and to show love to others as God has loved us. It is a selfless love, a love that delights in the well-being of others. We want to show love to the world, just like the Good Samaritan did to that man who was robbed and beaten on the road to Jericho. Because that's how we want others to love us. We're not to stoop to the level of the world and just walk on by, but to love others as God has loved us. And Jesus says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be paid in full. Now, these words now reinforce the attitude of our love. They reveal to us the genuineness of having a God-like love over and against the unloving and selfish world. If we only love those that love us, what credit is that to us? This is how the world loves. It loves those that loves it. It's the same for doing good. The world loves those, does good to those that does good to it. You know, if you do something to upset the world or something to hurt it, even accidentally, then you'll soon see how quickly it will lash out at you. The world loves and does good to those that love and do good to it. And we can illustrate this in a negative way, and it shows the same attitude. Just look at the world around us at the moment. Just look at the world where you can see conflict going on. One side launches a drone attack, so the other side launches missiles. One side blows up a bridge, so this other side blows up a factory. This is the same attitude found in tribal payback. If someone attacks someone from another tribe, the other tribe will then attack someone from their tribe. It is a constant tit for tat. It is a constant cycle that never ends. Whether it is loving to be loved or doing good, expecting good in return, or committing violence because someone has done violence to you. So Jesus says, what credit is to you if this is how you love? If this is why you do good. Even the convicted murderer in jail loves those who love him. Even the violent offender will do good to those who do good to him. Now remember, to love is a deliberate act. Did God love us because we loved him? No. We've been rebels and enemies of God since the fall. But still God loved us because God is love. Has God done good to us because we have done good to him? No. God has done good to us because it is the nature of love to do good to those we have chosen to love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. So when Jesus gave the great commission to his disciples, he was really telling us, go into the world and love. Love as I have loved you. Love the world as I have loved you. And go and do good to those who don't deserve it, even as I have done good. Jesus then speaks of lending. And we've got to remember here that Jesus is talking to Jews. And the Old Testament taught that everyone should repay their debts. So this is not so much about lending money, but is expecting to get. So this is not so much about lending an amount of money and expecting to get it back here. That's not really the issue, but it's the obligation that is given since you've lent to them. That they at some time should also lend to you because you've already lent to them. How are we going to reach the world? That's the kind of attitude we have. How are we to reach the world if that's our motive? Jesus says, beloved, even your enemy, and do good. And lend to them expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you'll be sons of the Most High God, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Now, common grace means that God is good to those who don't deserve it. God causes his sun to shine, and notice God says it is his sun, to rise on the evil and good. And he sends rain on the righteous and also the unrighteous. God has called us and saved us by his grace. And even those that refuse to believe in God and continue in their sinful ways, God still bestows that same common grace of blessing for the sustaining and blessing of life in this world. The whole of creation testifies to God's grace, and when we show that same love, that same mercy, and that same grace that God has shown us to the world around us, we prove that we are sons of God as we reflect the light, the glory of Christ in this world. If you wanted to be a disciple of Christ, this is what it looks like. Now, verse 38 then says, do not judge and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn and you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. And notice the repetition here. Do not judge. Do not condemn. Now, they're not exactly the same, but in the context of our passage, they go hand in hand. Love your enemy. Therefore, do not judge them. Do not condemn them. Because God says, it is mine to avenge. I will repay. And Paul writes to Timothy saying, Christ Jesus is the one who will judge all people. We have to leave judgment to God because God sees the heart. Instead, we have to forgive others as God has forgiven us. How many sins have we all committed against God? Yet he has forgiven all of them. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. As believers, we have to be concerned with heavenly living. Our eyes should be fixed on Jesus as we follow in the footsteps of him who has gone before us. So the last verse of our passage this morning says, give, and it shall be given to you. A good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, we poured into your lap. For with the measure you used, we measured to you. Give. And what a perfect word to start this last verse. Our passage this morning shows us what heavenly love looks like. And so we can sum up this morning's message in two words. Love gives. Love gives. Love gives of itself. Think of God's love to us in creation. Man was the pinnacle of creation. Everything was made for man to enjoy. And God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But then they sinned. God is love. And God showed his love to the extreme by in giving Jesus that he might pay the debt for our sin upon the cross. And this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God slain from the creation of the world. Before the world was made, it was decided in the Godhead, the Trinity of God. That's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Son of God would come and pay the debt for our sin so we might be brought into a relationship with God. God loves. God gives. God gives to those that love others as he has done for them. A good measure, pressed down and shaken together. Now, in Jesus' day, when he brought grain, the buyer would go to a cellar and he'd have his measure. And so he'd pour a little bit of grain in. And so he'd shake it and press it down. And he'd pour a little bit more in, press it down, shake it. And this would keep on happening till that measure was completely full. No more could be fitted in it. And then he'd pour it into their robes as they held them up. And if it was a good measure, it'd be running over. Jesus promises to those that love as he does, to those who walk in his ways, who follow in his steps, who imitate his life, who love their enemies, even as they have been loved by God. He says, I will give a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God always gives an abundance. His abundance is running over. God will give an abundance of blessing in this world, in the world to come, to those who will dare to live as heavenly citizens in this world, who will dare to live as heavenly citizen wherever God has placed you. God always gives more abundantly. The secret of heavenly living this morning is that love always gives. And we are to love those as God has loved us. I'm going to pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your grateful love for us. Father, we thank you for your only Son, Jesus Christ, that in love he came into this world, that in love he paid the price for our sins. Father, that in love you draw us to yourself. Father, help us to love you as you deserve. Father, help us to love others as you have loved us. Father, be at work in our hearts and minds. Make them tender and soft for those around us. Father, we would truly love them, that we would truly see the need of the world around us. Father, we would have compassion as you've had compassion on us. Father, we pray now as we come to the end of this service. Father, be at work in our hearts and in our minds by your Holy Spirit. Help us to live acceptably before you as those that you've loved and called to yourself. We ask and pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.